And verse 5 and then Jeremiah 29 and 11, a familiar text. Amen. We are just glad to be in the house of prayer. Glad to see all of you here. And if you are watching us by way of social media, we're glad that you tuned in. I was able to check in. First, I don't want to say this. Thank you. I prepared a video, but we didn't get the chance to download it and show it. I had a video last Sunday. Just wanted to thank you for allowing me to be a father to my children. I wanted to thank you. Thank you. You're right. I need that. That's my first ministry. And I wanted to thank you for allowing me to go and support my son last week in Hampton. You know, I got pastor friends who are afraid to leave their pulpits because they don't know what's going to happen. They're afraid of what they got to clean up when they get back. But I'm telling you, we got a top-notch bullpen. We got a top notch. I'm telling you, listen, we can just, if somebody dropped the mic, somebody gonna pick it up. Amen. Amen. And excellence is not going to drop. So I thank God. I want to thank you for allowing me to do that. Thank you for allowing. And when I go, I'm not worried. I'm not bothered. I know Mike held it down. Amen. Mike held it down. He ain't cut nobody's ear off. So we thank God for that. He is our resident Peter. Amen. Mike get things done. Mike will get things done. Amen. So we thank God for him. And so I don't want to take that lightly. I don't want to assume because I know I've had pastor friends, they are afraid. They feel chained to the pulpit. That's not healthy. It's not good. And so and a lot of times PKs grow up hating the church. Because of that, and I don't want my children, I want my children to stay in love with God, and I want them to grow up, and I want them, amen, to be children, amen. Thank you for allowing them to be children. That's exactly what it is balance, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Because Jeremiah 1, verse 5, so I said all that to those who are watching us. I was watching it when we was on 95, on that parking lot in 95, and it was wonderful, but there's nothing like being here. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reading from the New International Version. Follow with me as I read. I could not get all of the PowerPoints, but I got some of them up there. Verse 5 reads like this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Amen. And chapter 29, verse 11, the same book. New International Version says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. The word of the Lord, it is blessed. We want to consider for a thought this morning. And could you get my stuff? Got junk. You know, it's a little play on the word, on the phrase, got milk, the advertisement. Sydney, get these for me. We want to ask, got junk? We're going to talk about excess baggage today. We'll talk about excess baggage. We got some folks who love the Lord, but we're carrying too much. We're carrying too much. There's something with the when you go to the restaurant and the waitress will say, "Tell me when." Which means you tell me to stop. I'll keep pouring until you tell me to stop. There's some of us, we've not told the world when. We've not told our problems when. So we've got excess baggage, which has created junk in the proverbial trunks of our life. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Got junk. Y'all can bring them up. Y'all can come and bring them up. Amen. Bring them up. Praise the Lord. Y'all know I'm visual. Put them right here. Put them right here. Yeah, put two over here and two right there. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. This scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, it's one of my favorite scriptures. And it always blesses me because it literally gives me a glimpse into the amazing plan that God has for our lives. He says, behold, he says, for I know the plans I have for you. First of all, that just blesses me right now to know that God takes the time to have a plan for me. I know the plan, which blows the whole Big Bang Theory out the water. That things just miraculously happen. No, there's a designer. We have a grand designer, and his name is Yahweh. And he says, I've got plans for you. Look at somebody say, God's got plans for you. Hallelujah. It gives me the glimpse into the amazing plan that God has for our life. He says, according to the text, God wants us to experience what it's like to prosper, to be secure, and to live a meaningful life. God's got plans. But let's be honest. Do we feel like we're on that path every day? No. It's not God's fault. Even though he's got plans. Plans need permission. Amen. Plans need permission. Now, most people, especially Christians, are just struggling to survive. I thought about Good Times, the theme song. Scratching and surviving. Ain't we lucky we got them? Good Times. Amen. But as some Christians, we are struggling to survive. Many of us believe what Jeremiah said. We believe that God spoke that through Jeremiah, but something has gone wrong. And I'm going to tell you, it's not the plan. The plan is still in place. But something has gone wrong. And many of us want to run for Jesus, but we're too bogged down in stuff, in junk. Bogged down. Hebrews 12:1 says it like this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin, which that means everything that's weighty is not necessarily a sin, but it's enough to slow you down. It's enough to drain the energy that was given to accomplish the task had you not had the extra weight. Amen. See, there's a problem. We have all of this baggage weighing us down. We have junk in the trunk of our life. Family, our finances, our fear, frustrations, relationships, guilt, worry, unhealthy emotions, and unrealistic expectations. The list can go on and on, but these amount to junk, things that are not profitable for kingdom building. And we, if you really be honest, you got some junk in your trunk. Amen. We may walk into your house and everything looks miraculous, but don't touch that closet door. You got hinges screaming because you got so much stuff in that place because there's a disconnect somewhere. Amen. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean that doesn't even mean that you're going to hell. But I want you to understand that there's some stuff that we're carrying that God says we should. There's some things that we're holding on to that God says, I need you to let that go at the last transition I had you in. See, this is one of the major reasons why we can't seem to find and focus on our destiny. Because of the junk. It ain't sin, it's junk. We done stopped smoking, we done stopped drinking. You know, he said, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't run with those that do. We changed our circles. We're still slow. We still. Everybody else is on FiOS, but we still on dial-up. We still got a modem. You still got to tell folks don't call nobody, don't pick up the phone because I'm trying to get online. You got too much junk. Galatians 5:7 says it like this. You ran well, the New King James Version. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You did. You were moving. What tripped you up? The junk. So for the next few weeks, we're gonna talk after anniversary. Please, if y'all hadn't got your tickets, get your tickets for the prayer breakfast. If you hadn't done it, get your tickets for the prayer breakfast. Amen. This is our house. We celebrate 18 years. It's our house. Amen. Get it. If you hadn't got it, get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. So for the next few weeks after our anniversary celebration, we're gonna talk about the baggage that weighs us down, because it's important. It's important. I was listening to a documentary, and I was excited. I lost 22 pounds, but I found 10 of them. And I was listening to the documentary, and I told Amina, I said, "Listen, she's just still slimming down. She's looking fine, everything." I'm like, "Oh man, I got to get back on the grind." And I'm looking at the documentary, and it says for every extra pound of belly fat, It puts about 7 pounds of pressure on your knees. That's what the documentary said. And so it may not be. You may say I'm good carrying it, but what is it doing to the rest of your body? You may be carrying it well, but what is it doing to the rest of your body? So here it is. Here it is. We've got to look and see about the junk, the things that God wants us to lay aside that we're still carrying. This is the stuff that keeps us from being who we want to be. You don't want to miss one installment of this series, because it's going to bless your life. Here it is. The fact that we all have baggage in our lives, it means that we're extremely busy trying to juggle issues. If you got baggage, you have to learn on the fly how to be a juggler. You have baggage, you have to learn on the fly how to juggle this, how to keep it going. And that's not the way God wanted us to do. That kind of lifestyle, it puts us all out. Say all out. It puts us all out. It puts us all out of shape. It puts us all out of sorts. It puts us all out of touch. It puts us all out of order. Somebody shout all out. Let's talk about that. It puts us out of shape. Puts us out of shape physically. We're too busy to exercise or even eat right. You know that's when you have to deliberately, I will exercise right now. You too busy. If it's not a natural progression, because it needs to be as you get older, your metabolism slows down. See, that was my problem. I was still working out, but I thought I still had an 18-year-old metabolism. When I was 18-year-old, I could work, I could eat like a horse, I could go to sleep and eat. I mean, eat a pizza, then go to sleep, but you can't do that now. If I look at pizza, I gain. We're out of shape. We're out of shape because we're too busy to do what our body was designed to do, and that's move. Move. Family meal is our idea of family meal now, because we're so busy and we're juggling everything. Our idea of a family meal is Papa John's on the counter. We're out of shape. Somebody say all out, all out. We're all out of sorts. It means emotionally. We're all out of sorts. We'd have an emotional breakdown, but we don't have time. Come on, listen. It's enough. Have you ever been so stressed to where you just for a minute you just stared off into space? Then you said, then the next thing your alarm went off. Oh, I can't go there because I got something else to do. All out of sorts. We're so overwhelmed that we're just an emotional wreck. It's not good. Somebody say all out. We're all out of touch relationally. We don't have time for the people we love the most. Been saying you're going to go visit so-and-so, but you hadn't done it yet. You know you need to. You need to. They keep coming up in your spirit, but there's always something else to do. All out of touch. Meanwhile, our family and our friends suffer. That's not the life that God intended for us to have. It's not the life that God intended us to have. Say we're all out. We're all out spiritually. Deep down, we know things aren't right with God. Don't nobody got to tell you. Nobody got to beat you up. You know it. You've been too close to God to know that I'm not where I need to be. And we want to fix it, but we don't know how. So instead of stopping where we are, we keep going farther and farther and farther away. That's not what God intended. It's too much junk. Do you know that 50% of churchgoers only come once a month now? 50% of people who will tell you that they're Christians and say that and brag about them going to church, they only really go about once a month. They're not bad people. We just have too much to do. Wow. Too busy to commit to church, to a ministry, to an auxiliary, to a small group. Too busy to commit to coming to Bible study. Ouch. Okay, can I pass you for like 30 seconds? Too busy to do that, too busy to come, but we will go to that concert. And we will go to that sale. All right, that's it. We keep piling new things on because we think God won't give us more than we can bear. But that ain't scripture. He says he won't tempt you above you can bear. That's what the scripture says. He won't tempt you above you can bear. He will often let us overload so we can see how badly we need him and his people. God will allow you to run on fumes until you run out of gas. After ignoring the warning signs and ignoring the light flashing, he will allow us to run out of gas, to get stranded, so not to be mean to us, so that we understand where our priorities should be. Amen. Let's take a poll real quick. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to be able to finish this, but I am going to finish it on Wednesday. Here's a poll. Let's do a poll real quick. Raise your hand if at least you are occasionally overwhelmed or stressed out at some point. All right. Thank you. Hands down. Something's wrong with that picture. We had over half the room. Is this really how God intended us to live? Overwhelmed, stressed out, burned out, on the edge. I've never seen so many believers on the edge. Never seen so many believers not only about to snap, but snap. I saw somebody cuss and pray in tongues. That's crazy. Was at Burlington, at Burlington Co. Factory. And so they cussed and prayed in tongues. And this, I'm telling you, they cussed. They were messing with. They were dealing with it, and the kids was being rude, rowdy. But they was being kids. But you could, the level of stress had spilled over, and they said beep, and they was English talkers. They cussed and I said, what? Stressed out. We need to have a come to Jesus meeting. When things get that rough, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting. But what typically happens is those things, the enemy takes those moments and beats us up with them and pushes us farther away from God. But Matthew 11:28 says like this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden with what? Stress. Worry, frustration, guilt. He says, and I will give you rest. Look at somebody say it's time to come to Jesus. Gotta come to Jesus. Now some of us don't even know what rest is. Me, I'm gonna tell you right now, me. There are times I don't know how to act on a weekend I don't have to do something. Feel like something wrong. I need to be doing something. What did I forget? Some of us don't remember what it's like to rest. If you rest, you feel guilty. You should be doing something productive. Taking care of yourself is productive. It's productive for you and the people around you. My grandmother said like this, if you don't take care of yourself, your body will lay you down. Your body will lay you down. You gotta take care of yourself. You gotta take care of yourself. And let me just say this. Let me pass it right quick. I'm gonna get to it, but I feel I need to say this right now because somebody listen. That don't mean you put those things ahead of God. What usually suffers when we get that mentality? Well, I ain't gonna go to church. I'm not gonna honor God because I gotta. Pastor said, take care of myself. Sir, ma'am, you put stuff off that should have been done in a week on Sunday. No. Look at somebody say, behave. We live in a society that doesn't value the Sabbath. We live in a society that doesn't value the Sabbath. And I'm not just talking about the day. I'm talking about the day, but I'm not just talking about the day. Sabbath means a day of rest. But the Sabbath also means Sunday. We didn't have to worry. When I was back home, we didn't have to worry about Wednesdays and Sundays. Because the coaches knew, don't you come for my child with no practice or a game on Wednesday or Sunday. But now, 7 days a week, we were in the gym on Mother's Day. We live in a society that doesn't value the Sabbath. See, this has been a major struggle in my life because I'm like, hey, you got to give God his. This is a day of rest. If the Bible says on the seventh day he rested, if God rested, who you look like being trying to be the Energizer Bunny and keep going and going and going? You can't do it. If God saw the need to rest, why don't we see the need to rest? We should. In my last 4 minutes, because I'm gonna stop right here, because I want to get into this, but I want you to let what's being said right now marinate, because I'm talking to somebody right now, and you're examining your routine, you're examining your schedule right now, and you don't have a moment where you can rest. When was the last time you had a good night's sleep? I'm talking about just slept. I mean, just. Almost comatose. You slept in drool. I'm talking about this good sleep where it was drool. You woke up and it was like, that's good sleep. When you wake up thirsty, that's good sleep. that's a sleep where there's no care in the world. When's the last time? You slept until your eyes just opened. That's good sleep. I felt some kind of way on our anniversary. When my wife says, we went out the night of, and she says, can I just lay down until my eyes open? And I said, yeah, but then I walked away and I felt some kind of way, Princess, because for her to even have to ask for permission, that's not good. It's not good. And this stress and this baggage and this junk, it impedes the process of real ministry. Because we're so busy doing stuff, we miss the moments that God gives us to minister to people who need him. Because we carry in all of this stuff, we miss the opportunity to pour water on somebody. We miss the opportunity to give life to somebody. Because I'm too busy carrying this. I'm trying to balance what I'm doing. So if I'm doing that, I don't look at me. I don't even see you coming. Because I'm so busy carrying this junk. When it was never God's will for me to carry this junk, and I'm walking past Marcia, and I don't even see her. I don't even see her. We've lost the touch of what it means to love one another. Because we're so busy trying to make that extra dollar. Because I'm trying to get somewhere. And I'm not against making money. Listen, you got to make money, pay your bills, honor your obligations. I'm not against that. But when it gets to the place to where that's more important than what I was created to do, something's wrong. And all I'm saying is, what we think is valuable, what we think is more important, God says, it's junk. Help me out, Peter. All right. He says, all the things I've done, all the languages I've spoken, all the stuff I know, I count it but dung. Dung is boo-boo. Feces, fecal matter. Mess. I count it but dung. It doesn't even amount to anything worth value. It's passing. It had its point, but now its usefulness is gone and it's waste when compared to doing what I was created to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I were created to the praise of his glory. You and I were created to the praise of his glory. So are you saying, Pastor, that we're not going to go through stressful time? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, but when the stressful time is dominating your life, we got a problem. The documentary said that extra belly fat, it releases toxins that affect the organs. It releases toxins that affect the organs, and in men, it affects our testosterone levels. And literally turns testosterone into estrogen. Stress will change you. Stress will change you. You used to be a loving father. Now you're grumpy. You used to be a loving mother. You used to be caring and concerned. But now you can't even tell the last time you came in my room and talked to me. Stress will change you. I guess where I'm stopping here today, what I want you to really take away with this right now is I need you to examine your routines. Is God a plug-in, or is he the center of what's going on? Is he a slice or a sliver of the totality of all that you're doing, or is he the center from which everything else radiates and comes from? Are the things that you're doing and saying, are they coming from a place that honors God? Yeah, you go to work, do your job, do what they hired you to do, but have the Spirit of God on you. And while you're processing the paperwork, and while you're doing the code, and while you're teaching the class, and while you're moving this to that, the Spirit of God is flowing and radiating through you. And you're able to do that, and you're able to hear the pain in your coworker's voice, and the Holy Spirit prompts you, pray for her now, and it doesn't stress you out. You can do what you were hired to do and at the same time fulfill your kingdom assignment of being a light in that place. And when God releases you to go with to them and say, I heard you when you said hello, I heard something else. Can I pray for you? Too much junk will clutter that. Too much junk will mute that voice. Too much junk will hinder that. Or else if you hear it, okay, when I'm done with this, and you know what happens when that happens, it never gets done. Father, help us examine the junk in our life. Help us look at with critical eyes the areas that are hindering us from moving as you have created us to move. You said in your word, we're in the world, but we're not of it. Which means we should not be so adversely affected by the things that go on in it. Help us to examine, to recognize, to identify the junk, the clutter, the weight, that keeps us from reflecting your image as we should. I pray right now, God, for the strength of my brother, my sister, who is listening to my voice right now, watching us through social media. I pray for a tenacity, a strength, to look honestly at where they are right now and allow you to point out the things that honor you and things that don't. And to honestly say, this will no longer get my priority, but the things that honor God will get my priority. And honoring God and getting the priority doesn't mean you stay 24/7 in the church. You honor God by taking care of your family. You honor God by being the example of a godly man to your boys and your daughters. You honor God by being a godly example to your daughters and your sons, being that woman of God that your son needs to see and measure his future spouse up against. Father, I pray, help us to distinguish and to determine what should stay and what should go. Help us reprogram our lives to defragment ourselves from garbage in, garbage out. To keep the garbage, the things that will clutter the flow of your spirit in our life, help us to keep that distant from us. And Lord, I pray now, God, for those who've been bogged down, who after examining themselves recognize, my life is junky right now. So much clutter, I can barely see the next move that God has for me. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for spiritual spring cleaning. Deliver us from spiritual hoarding. things that no longer have use or value. We can no longer use them. They no longer are functional where we are and where we're going. Give us the strength to release them. To release them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We thank you and give you praise. Thank you for not condemning us. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for not condemning us, God. But thank you for loving us enough to challenge us. I pray that that challenge would provoke change. The kind of change that Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are before. Thank you, God, now, moving forward, the junk that kept us in the same stale, stagnant place can no longer hold us as we reach toward the purpose and the destiny you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand of praise if you believe.